Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Yes, it is what you have been waiting for. I'm happy to be here. I hope you are, too. This is Sixers Talk, brought to you by Wilmington University, WilmU Works, Danny Pommels, your boy Slash, a.k.a. Ben Barry, the producer, the co-host, the CrossFit savant, as he is. Were you Athlete of the Month this month, or was that last month?
Athlete of the Month for October.
Okay, there he is, the Athlete of the Month of his perspective, his individual CrossFit location. Okay, there we go. Okay, I don't want to share. I don't want people to be stalking you or trying to follow up.
People can stalk me all they want. You know what I mean? I got the pecs, I got the guns. I don't got that six pack.
It's all right, bro. We got plenty of time before six packs will come out. So I hope you work on that over the winter. I don't have one either, but there's that. But enough about us, though, as Doc Rivers is excited about the pieces and admitted that he was about to take a break from basketball, but this was an opportunity that he could not pass up. He said it was a five-hour window after he was let go by the Clippers, where his agent reached out to him and had some prospects of three teams that were interested. He said, I want to take a day of sleep on it. I'm not ready to talk about that. The next day, he windowed it down to two teams, and one of them was the Sixers. And we know all the rest. 3 days later, he was the Sixers head coach. The ink wasn't even dry before that news broke. From the press conference, I got a lot of cool nuggets. We had a special on NBC Sports Philadelphia about it. I had Jim Lynham in the office, as well as Mark Zumoff and Mark Jackson. And we talked ad nauseum about Doc and what he brings to the team. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's a big green check mark from all of those people. But I want to know what you think, Ben, after hearing the press conference. Is there anything that stuck out to you about how he's going to address this team? And there's plenty to get to in that regard, but what is it that you think resonated?
The load management. He spoke about load management.
That was funny when he said, I wish there were, you ever seen me walk?
Yeah.
I wish there was load management in my day.
It's not pretty seeing how that debatable didn't work with Kawhi and Paul George. They flamed out in the playoffs. I know it was other circumstances, bubble, things like that. That stuck out to me, not being concerned with Ben Simmons developing a knockdown three-point shot or mid-range shot.
Yeah, he said
just
that,
making sure the guy scored.
Yeah, he said he doesn't care where the scoring comes from. He's worried about the team score. So he wants to make sure the team is scoring at a high clip, as opposed to how that happens or where the buckets come from. It doesn't really matter to him. I don't have a problem with that. I would like to see Ben develop and take more steps forward when it comes to his shooting, and Doc not emphasizing that or saying, I think his direct quote was, that's not as big a deal to me as it is to everyone else. That I'm not worried about that initially. I think the thing for me that worried me initially, not worried me, but caused me to my ears to perk up, is that he's looking for pace when it comes to this team. So to me, that means Ben getting up and down the floor at the point guard position, which is one of his highest attributes, is getting up and down the floor with the basketball and being able to distribute and find guys and create things and be a playmaker. But that does not necessarily play to Joel Embiid's strengths of being a bigger,
out of shape.
I know, right? I don't know why I beat him. It's like he's in the room with me and I'm saying it. But yeah, Joel's out of shape. You can't have your big man running 3-point line to 3-point line and you're trying to push the pace. So I think that's where I'm hoping to see you know, him use his coaching prowess to bring something out of this team that we haven't seen when it comes to Joel and getting up and down the floor consistently. But I asked my dad, man, we were watching this last finals game, game four. I'm looking at Anthony Davis's physique and how he moves up and down the floor. I'm like, man, you ever think Joel could get to that size? And he quickly said a big no. Because you look at Anthony Davis, not that old Joel needs to be slim, trim, you know, svelte in that way, because Anthony Davis is tall and long, where Joel has more girth on him. But I think that's the thing that is going to benefit Joel more, is to lose some of that weight. And not even the fact that for the conditioning, the longevity of his career, the fact that he'll be quicker, the fact that he'll be able to, you know, do more things that he probably didn't think he could do because he lost some of that weight or is trimmed up a little bit. And I don't know if it's actually losing weight. I think it's just more or less being in his top shape, whatever that may be. And I don't think he's quite achieved that yet. And I guess you would agree.
I would say it's definitely lose weight. For every pound you weigh, that is 3 pounds of pressure on your knees.
Oh.
Yeah. So you think about that for a second. So once you get over 200, yo, that's a lot more pressure on your knees.
I'm rubbing my knees right now.
Yeah, I'm hovering around 227. I know Joel is a bigger human being than me, but hovering around 280, yo, that's a lot of pressure on your knees, yeah, especially if you want a long career. And it's not, he's not naturally as wide as Shaq was. And when Shaq first came into the league, he used to run like a gazelle, but he bulked up because playing Sabonis, things like that. It just wears down after a while. You saw definitely what the last 6-7 years of Shaq's career, like he wasn't anything close to the dominant force we saw in Orlando early on in LA. And I know no one's going to be as very rarely is anyone going to be as dominant in year 15 as they are in year 5. I'm not asking for that. I would like Joel to still be able to run. I don't want him to retire early just because his knees can't take the pounding. So to get in the best shape possible would be ideal for him in the Sixers long term. Now, it takes accountability, which has been stressed a lot on this pod, on TV, written articles you and Noah have put out on the new website. It takes accountability from everyone, the training staff, the front office, the coach, his teammates, to make sure he's in shape if they're going to push the pace so he can get up and down the court.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing, man, when you're thinking about the obstacles this team needs to overcome and how they get there, I would think that's probably a bigger obstacle. How would you weigh that? If you're thinking like Ben shooting threes or Joel being in top shape? Well, not even, I guess Ben shooting on the outside. I won't just make it threes, but shooting from the perimeter, you know, a jump shot, consistent jumper to keep the defense honest, and Joel being in shape, what would you think is more of the bigger priority for this team to have greater success?
I would say Joel being in shape, especially if I'm thinking the hypothetical is keeping these two together.
Mm-hmm. No, they're going to be together. There's no way that they trade one of them right now. I get from Doc is he's going to try to work with what's here, and then they'll bring it maybe.
No, I agree. Both of them right here, right now, yes, they're together. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee 4 or 5 years down the road from now.
Oh, no, so, their contracts will expire, and, you know, decisions.
Will they re-up things like that? Will there be a headache? Will someone lose their mind playing with the other or another teammate or the coaches? I think Joel
you give top billing to.
I would say it's more important. Because even with Ben not shooting jumpers or being hesitant to shoot mid-range and beyond the arc, Sixers made it to game 7 in the semifinals last year. And it was on a ridiculous bounce that they lost. The games they lost in that series, Joel was tired. Or he didn't play. I think you can work around Ben not being able to shoot, especially if there's good coaching.
I feel like, I don't know. Here's what I'm thinking. Joel Embiid wants to be Defensive Player of the Year MVP. That's what he said, right? Ben Simmons didn't say any of those things, but yet he ended up first team all defense and third team all NBA. So I think what I'm thinking about is which player can unlock more of their potential if, you know, Joel getting in shape or Ben shooting more, if they were able to come into those things that we're asking about. So I feel like if Ben shot more, that would develop and open up not only his game, but the floor for everyone else. Whereas Joel getting in shape, yeah, he might score some more points, be able to get to a couple more rebounds, but he's already giving you all-star numbers, maybe not Defensive Player of the Year MVP numbers, but I don't think the Sixers need him to be a DPOY or MVP in order to reach the heights that they want to get to. But I do think that Ben shooting more would not only complement his game and create more opportunities for himself, but also for the rest of the team when it comes to spacing, when it comes to, you know, people not going under the screen on a pick and roll because Ben will be a threat to shoot. So I think that would accentuate what the team does more if Ben steps into the shooting role or shoots more.
I think I agree with everything you just said. I think it would help the team a lot. I think Joel doing more than, 22 and 12 a night would help the team. I think he should be around 28 points a night, 15 rebounds. Be great. Don't be good. Don't be great.
Does the team need that, though, to reach the next plateau? I don't know if they need him to have, like, more points and rebounds. Like, they were 26 and 2 at home with him being what he is.
They need him to be on the court. And for him to be on the court, he needs to be in shape.
Oh, so you're saying low management will come away if he was in better shape. Now, that's I didn't think of it that way.
I want him to be in better shape because at the end of the game, I don't want to hear you're tired. I don't like a breather. Everyone's tired. Push through it. Get in better shape. Let's all chip in. We shouldn't have to. The Sixers should get him a Peloton, an assault bike, something. Be in better shape.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it's just the better shape with him working out. I think it's like you need to like trim away some of the fat. So I think as far as conditioning, as far as, you know, being in shape to be able to get up and down the floor, but I think he's carrying around the excess weight, which I don't know. It's six of one, half dozen the other, but I think the excess weight is what makes him not as.
So yeah, getting better shape.
Endurance strong.
Yeah. He's not, so getting better shape.
Endure.
Yeah, so get in better shape.
Better shape, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're trying to break it down
to
the
– That might be harsh. That's what it is. Maybe it's the lowest common denominator. As you alluded to, like, I got athlete of the month, whether there's running, burpees, all these things. Like, I'm not pro-athlete strong by any means. But I can do my 225 on the bench, 3-plus on the squat and all that. But when it comes to running and things like that, I gas out quickly. I gas out doing burpees. Anything like that. Know how you get better at it? You keep doing it, you get in better shape. You want to lose that weight? You got to up your cardiovascular.
And so do you see – which one of those do you see changing quicker under Doc? Is Joel going to just change diet and be more, you know, cardio-heavy and lose quicker? Weight? Yeah, Ben shooting or Joel?
I don't got no faith in Joel getting in shape.
I mean, why would you have faith in Ben shooting, though? Because the previous coach went to every extent he could possibly go to try to motivate him to shoot more jumpers and get to the free throw line, talking to the media, petitioning Ben directly, you know, trying to get other guys to motivate him.
It's because I had to pick one. That's why. And I went with Ben shooting. It just reminded me when we had World Be Free on and you talked about your son, how he likes to play like Westbrook. Yeah. He had the Allen Iverson practice mentality.
That is true.
If you're not around, you think your boy practicing?
Half-heartedly. He would go through the motions. He would probably just
go through the motion
to say he showed up. You know what I mean?
I think that's what it is for both of them right now, whether it's Ben shooting the Joel's endurance, stamina. I think that's where we're at with both of them. Hopefully they pick it up a notch and turn things on, but I don't have a lot of faith.
Doc was, you know, Coach Jim Lynham, when we did the special surrounding his press conference, you know, after Doc spoke, Coach Lynham, for all, you know, just to paraphrase, just called it a perfect press conference. Like, he didn't skirt any of the questions, went to everything head on, was open and upfront. He called it perfect. You know, from a coach's perspective, you know, that's pretty significant for me because, you know, he's there to try to find things that didn't make sense or didn't quite add up. And, you know, Doc is Doc. You know, he's a 58-year-old, 21-year NBA coaching vet, almost 15 years as a playing career. Like he knows how to handle the media. But, you know, when you think about what this team is, how far they come, you know, this guy coming off a 3-1 series loss and still coming here and commanding the room, I think is significant. I don't know if Doc will get the Sixers to a championship, and the playoffs is where the bread is going to be buttered with this team. But I do feel like he will account for some wins easily that Brett Brown couldn't.
I know every year, the first year Doc is at a new team, whether it was Orlando, Boston, or LA, the team has won more games than the previous season. That's nice and grand.
Playoffs, though. Playoffs.
I want playoffs.
Right.
And in the past 7 years, I stress this as much as I can. Every problem that they say the Sixers roster had, the Clippers have had, whether it's accountability, holding on to leads late in games, mm-hmm. movement in the offense, it's all there. I'm not all in like a lot of people are, and that's just what show me. I'm not buying my ticket for the parade. I'm not planning for a parade already. Show me that this team is going to get better.
Hey, dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. There's a local university that's ready to bring your dreams into reach. It's Wilmington University. WilmU helps working adults reach their career goals through accredited and affordable degrees and certificates to reach new heights in your field. WilmU works. Find out why at wilmu.edu. A myriad of topics and articles on our website, so be sure to check out NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com and the My Teams app. We have an article about Doc Rivers addressing the delicate, complicated topic of load management. We have four things that we learned from Doc Rivers' introductory press conference, why Rivers isn't fixated on Ben Simmons' shot. You can get all of the stuff that we are discussing in some shape, form, or fashion on the website, so be sure to check that out. What is the latest regarding this team, even after the Doc Rivers press conference, is a report from Yaron Weitzman, who wrote a book on the process. He is reporting that the Sixers have begun interviewing candidates to serve in an executive role under GM Elton Brand, according to league sources. So the shakeup that we have been anticipating, here we are. They hire a head coach before they take care of the front office, Elton Brand leading that search. There was the Keith Pompey report that Alex Rucker, Miguel Oliva, and Ned Cohen may not necessarily be ousted from the front office, but just not have decision-making power and input and just be gathering information to help those who do make decisions. And here we are with the possibility of bringing in someone who will be under Elton Brand. And what their title exactly is, I'm not sure, whether it be president of basketball operations or whatever it may be. But I think what the trend I'm seeing here is you have Doc Rivers, who has previously had personnel input, and he spoke about that in his introductory press conference, saying that, you know, I'm more than willing and happy to work with Elton in that regard. I don't see you know, me forcing the issue there, but I'm available. And Elton and I have discussed that of having personnel input and getting my opinion, et cetera. But you bring in Doc, who has had personnel experience and long in the tooth when it comes to the NBA itself. Having had, like I mentioned, almost a 15-year playing career and 21 years consecutive as a head coach, which is really remarkable. He has reportedly also considered bringing in Alvin Gentry on the bench. Another guy who has had, you know, most recently with New Orleans Pelicans, long history with the NBA when it comes to coaching. So you have a guy like Alvin Gentry coming in with Doc Rivers possibly.
Also, Gentry is going to be an assistant with the Kings.
Oh, that when did that happen? I missed that.
Yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, I was off yesterday, so forgive me. But all I'm trying to say is, in essence, we're in a position where we're getting deeper into what Elton talked about after Brett Brown was fired, more basketball minds being in the fray. So bringing someone under Elton is giving him this clean slate, carte blanche of a second chance to try to make this thing work. And they're losing a lot of that groupthink mentality when it comes to, I don't know if they're losing all of the analytics approach, but they're losing some of the groupthink mentality. Are you encouraged hearing that there is someone coming in under Elton? Would you prefer a shakeup where they cleaned the house? Or do you like this little piecemeal action that we're getting now?
I would prefer if they cleaned house.
Is that including Elton?
Yeah, including Elton. Woo. Danny, why you a father? You're a father?
Yeah.
Your son go out there and make some terrible decisions with some friends. He ain't hanging out with any of them anymore, is he?
Not in the near future, no.
Yeah, exactly. I know it's different, but everyone that is responsible for Tobias and Al Horford, they should be up out the paint. A month and a half ago, we were told that there would be a lot of changes coming. Have we actually heard any changes, really? Yeah, Cohen, Rucker, they might have less say in operations, but has that been confirmed? The front office power structure and the relationship ownership, it's unclear who leads these decisions. And I know me, like many fans, would like some more clarity on these things going forward, but it doesn't seem to be happening. I think the whole front office, it should be an overhaul from top to bottom. And like, all right, Elton's going to get someone under him, but he had a say in that bad Al Horford contract and that bad Tobias contract. Yep. So to me, it just seems like he's skating on it. There's nothing that's come out recently. They're going to hire someone under Elton. It's nothing that's come out recently that makes me believe this is the turning point for the front office.
Turning point for the front office. I'm not sure if a turning point is going to lead us to what we want. I think, you know, clearly if the GM is telling us we need more basketball minds and that's what we need, because not only is he feeling like he's on an island when it comes to the, you know, amount of knowledge you have when it comes to basketball, not only is he feeling like he's on an island, you know, in that regard, it's like almost like a plea he's making to, if you mention that at the press conference in front of the media and say, there's not enough people who think like me or have the experience to be able to make decisions, that says a lot. So I don't know if we're going to get a turning point by whoever Elton brings in, whoever the organization brings in. I think the turning point for me is going to be how well the pieces fit together with Doc Rivers. I mean, the front office turning point, you know, they could make a move to bring someone in and tell you things have changed, but still do things similarly to they did in the past. Like, there's no accountability. There's no one that's going to know unless we get some type of report from, you know, Keith or Yaron Weitzman or Kyle Newbeck or whoever it may be about, you know, upheaval in the front office. like we did with Colangelo and Sam Hinkie, but there's no way to be accountable to what they're doing there or how it's changed or who's making the decisions.
That's so, why they should clean house. I have zero faith in anyone there. There's no proof that anyone in there is a shrewd basketball mind or a shrewd business.
I can't really argue any of this. There's no proof of any of that.
The two crown jewels are Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Sam Hinkie is responsible for both of them. Yet, no, he wasn't the GM when Ben was picked. But that draft pick was because of him. Everyone else on the roster had nothing to do with Sam. Or is there even anyone on the roster because of Colangelo? And I'm not even a Colangelo fan because I know how the city hates him. There is no proof that anyone from the front office is good at their job. Okay, bring in someone with a proven track record. But is it still going to be the groupthink approach? Get rid of the whole front office. Clean house.
Yeah, man. I would love to know whose idea that was. I think that's what I'm trying to figure out is whose idea was it? Hey, we're going to have this collaborative approach to how to handle all these situations, and we're going to use analytics to help decide how those decisions are executed, you know, when and how they're executed by the head coach. So without having someone to blame in that regard or to point at and say, you know what, you're the person that didn't quite have the right idea about how this all will work. You know, Elton is the one left holding the bag, even though that was the approach before he got there. He was the one that, you know, like you said, the Tobias Harris, Al Horford stuff, he was in on that and co-signed that and maybe initiated some of it. Who knows? Because those are things we don't know. But I think I want some continuity. I'm definitely looking for some synergy that is, you know, you don't often know the names of the best, you know, front office people until the success comes. You know what I'm saying? So I think more or less like I'm of the ilk that I want to see the product change on the court. And then we can like, so, well, you know what? The product on the court looks great. Who is responsible for this? Who's the person I should say, you know, pat on the back and say, good job. And I think, you know, that's more what I'm looking for, but it's just a weird situation all the way around. Here we are, you know, whether you just think that the head coach should have come first, or the front office should be addressed. We're in the end game, as Dr. Strange says. So let's just figure it all out.
It's a caravan of garbage driving down the street.
At Nissan, we just made your choice for a new car an easier one than ever. With our most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup, the choice is yours. Now get great offers across our full line. Shop at your local Nissan store today at NissanUSA.com. Getting back to the Doc Rivers press conference, all-encompassing, wide-ranging presser, as most of them are, but specifically here with the Sixers at a real turning point of their organization because they're looking for Doc to do what Brett couldn't, what everyone has been waiting for is to push this team to the upper echelon of NBA teams. The Final Four, we'll say. If they can get to the Final Four, that would be a gigantic step forward. The team hasn't been in the Eastern Conference Finals since Allen Iverson led them in 2001, which was almost 20 years ago. He had an interesting story, though, sharing his, you know, how the name Doc Rivers came about, which didn't come from the presser exactly, but an interview with Mark Zumoff, the voice of the Sixers, and the TV voice of the Sixers. But Doc was, just to paraphrase, Doc was at a camp when he was in his teenage years, 10th, 9th grade, maybe earlier. He was at Marquette. He was wearing a Dr. J t-shirt, and he was catching wreck wearing that Dr. J t-shirt. It was a week-long camp. He was catching wreck. Milwaukee Bucks showed up one day after he was doing really well, and they only had 9 players. He was asked to come out and play to make the 10th, and Al McGuire, who was the coach of Marquette Golden Eagles at the time, was pointing at him and saying, Doc, get down here, Doc, Doc. And he's like, my name's Glenn. I don't know who Doc is. But he realized he was talking to him. And in that game with the Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers caught a dunk and a steal, and this name has stuck ever since. in that regard, as a rookie, he came into the NBA, had his first chance to play against the Sixers to meet Dr. J, and he shakes his hand, introduces himself at the jump circle before the game started as, "Hey, I'm Glenn." And Doc immediately picks up on the fact that he's trying to be coy and, you know, not try to take Doc's nickname because he is the originator of it. And Doc immediately replies, "No, you're Doc." Like, bro, it's room for plenty of us. Such a classy gesture by Dr. J. And that, you know, resonated with Coach Rivers, because he told Mark Zumoff, "You can call me Glenn because there is only one Doc in Philadelphia." With that whole backdrop in place, I hope I'm not getting too long-winded, but Deion Sanders recently on his podcast said that when he first met Dr. J, he almost cried because he was on, you know, he was one of his ones. He was on the Mount Rushmore of people that he felt like were just like surreal, you know, larger than life, people that, you know, you always hoped you would meet. And when you do, it lives up to the expectations. So the people on that list for him were Hank Aaron, Muhammad Ali, Dr. J. I forget the fourth, but who is on your Mount Rushmore of people who you feel like in the sports world are larger than life? Because to me, it's like Dr. J is a legend and an athlete, but he is a legendary athlete, like all in the same. Like, it's just like, He encompasses all of the above when it comes to basketball and pop culture because of the way people talk about him and how revered he is. And here we are, you know, so many years later after his playing career, still talking about him. And don't forget, he gave me this jersey after the 83 championship. But who's on your Mount Rushmore, people who you feel like are up there?
Larger than life. Man.
Larger than life athletes, legendary athletes.
Hey, if we go on legendary, I'm going to go a different way with this.
For you.
Yes.
I don't want to say legendary, you know, Pac-Man Jones legendary. No. Don't even try it.
What? No, I wasn't going that way. I was going for legends that, you know, big contract and don't know how they got it.
That's not a legend. No Mount Rushmore.
That's a legend at the bank.
No. Joe Johnson and his $200 and $300 million NBA money, that does not count.
I wasn't going to go Andrew Wiggins.
Just have transcended pop culture and athleticism and had just crashed into your consciousness as just like people who just are almost untouchable.
Then, because I really wanted to give you Tobias Allen Houston.
No, see, you're dirty. Andrew Wiggins. You're dirty. No,
it's not dirty.
I sniffed it out.
They're legends at the bank. It's amazing. Signed contracts with ski masks on. So I'm gonna go Bo Jackson.
Ooh, good one. I had that one.
I will go Michael Vick.
Good one.
Gotta go Randy Moss.
Ooh. It's all football so far.
Yeah, and this might be biased. When I think of like the greatest athletes of all time, most of the football players I'm thinking of were like all state in high school at multiple sports. And my last one is Deion Sanders.
Legends. Okay. Deion would be on my list. Bo Jackson would be on my list.
Michael Vick is on my list because not until recently, we've never seen anything like that on a football field.
Easily.
Lamar Jackson is the closest thing. It's just Michael Vick. I was sitting to watch.
I think Mike Vick qualifies because, like a guy like Deion, it just made you pay attention, type of thing. Like you didn't even have to like football. You could be a casual observer, and the commercials and the shoes and, you know, the things he did from the quarterback position that you had never seen. I don't know if he crosses over as much as a guy like Deion or Bo Jackson, where it was like everyone had to have the shoes and, you know, you're saying Bo knows this and you don't, may not even, you know, you got rappers like Q-Tip and Fife Dog from Tribe Called Quest talking about Bo Jackson. And it just was like a phenomenon. So I think Deion and Bo, but this is your list, so you can have whoever you want. Randy Moss is a good one though.
I mean, Randy Moss has, you just got mossed, and now it's a thing on Monday Night Football, the countdown show. People still say that.
I'll give you this one. There you go. The kids' game. They play a game called Moss. And they don't even know who Randy Moss is. They play the game. You know, my son, I had to break it down to, like, you know, Randy Moss. That's why they call it the game Moss, right? Because, you know, Randy Moss, blah, blah, blah. So they play the game and don't even know who Randy Moss is. They might not even have seen him play. And my son is be 13 next week. You know, he's been playing the game since he was like 5, 6, 7, 8. So I'm sure those 6, 7, 8-year-old kids didn't know who Randy Moss was, but just loved to play Moss. But I agree with two of your Mount Rushmore people. I'm going to add two. And I'm trying to shirk and dodge and avoid, but just Michael Jordan. Just got to be on the list, bro. Like, I've told this story before on a podcast, but my grandfather hated basketball. He hated it before he saw Michael Jordan play. He used to ask me why I wasted my time watching it. He used to feel like it was just a silly sport. He liked golf. He was a Lee Trevino guy. That was a dude. He loved Lee Trevino, and he liked to watch golf. And I was like, Pop, just sit and watch Michael Jordan just for a little bit. Like, you see him right there, number 23. Just watch him. And ever since that point of that one game, he used to call me and tell me when the games were on. And, oh, you're not in the house yet? You're not watching? Blah, 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 blah. And that was back when, you know, the Bulls were often on national TV, but there were only a few places where you could watch games. And it was like NBA on NBC and, you know, maybe like Sunday night you would get something or what have you. But I got to throw Mike on there. And my fourth, transcendent, Refrigerator Perry. How about that? Refrigerator Perry. Because once you cross over into G.I. Joe, you are officially a pop culture and legendary athlete. Refrigerator Perry, Super Bowl champion. He was a G.I. Joe figure, and that's my four. Now sit down and tell me why you agree with me.
I don't agree with you.
Yes, you do.
Because I don't think anyone over anyone under 25 know who Refrigerator Perry is.
Maybe under 30.
It's a good possibility under 30. I'm not too far off from that, so I didn't want to go. I thought might be a little hard.
But if you were born, what, you were born in 87, 86?
87.
All right, so 87, they won the Super Bowl in 85. He didn't even – like, he might have played a few – he played a few years after that, but he wasn't at, like, the apex of his career after that.
No, like, I know he is from just being such a huge football fan as a kid. Like, know who he is, but
– The Fridge. What a nickname, huh? But no, seriously, if I had to choose one, instead of Fridge, it would be Iverson. No one has had the city eating out the palm of his hand, or, well, however you want to put that, like he has. No one has captivated the city. No one has had the city as captivated as he did ever, period. So I'm going to go with Iverson. Iverson, okay. Mike, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders. That's my Mount Rushmore of legendary athletes. A plenty of work and articles and videos on our website all surrounding these topics that we discussed. Please be sure to check them out. For the man with the beard and no mustache.
CrossFit King of Prussia Athlete of the Month. Word up, son.
Or Slash. You can call him Slash, too. That is Ben Berry, my co-host and producer. So glad that you guys can tune in and listen to this Sixers Talk podcast. We'll rejoin you again on Monday. Until then, we'll see you next time.